Well, how are you doing with me? Good to have you here this morning. You're here on a great morning. Love that we can say hi to Kelly. You know, her living situation in Venezuela is tough. If God puts you on her heart, man, mark her down, put her in your phone, have reminders, just pray for her. Yeah, she's one of us representing us there. Loved having a baby dedication this morning, celebrating dads. But we need to talk about a difficult reality in our church. And so if you're new, if I sit on the stool, I'm probably just sharing from my heart. This is Bob. Don't build your theology on it. And I'll come over here and I'll talk to you about what I'm learning from Scripture. But I want you to know that this is my least looked forward to message of the year so far. I love Cold Lake and I love people. And God has allowed Karina and I to be here about 10 years. And the reality of life in this place is that we have said hello to some fantastic friends, and we've said goodbye to lots of fantastic friends. This is the season where postings and job change hits us and comes out, and for a few years, we would kind of try and dance around it a little bit, and you'd hear it in different groups, and here's what started to happen. There was a bit of a fracture happening where the local people would just go, oh, I can't welcome anyone else into my life and embrace them and do life with them because it hurts too much. I mean, my kids get to know them and love them and they become friends with my family and we just get to the place where I feel like I can call them or drop in unannounced. And even if they're in their ratty underwear, they don't care. You know, just that level of comfort that you hit and they move on you or leave you. And you think, I'm just going to protect myself. And on the other side, but people in the military and people that come for just 3 years, they go, well, I'm just here for this long. So I'm going to maintain ties back to my last place. And I'm going to run lots on the weekends. And, well, I need to find a church where I can go and worship and feel a little something and have a connection with some people. I'm not going to ground in deep and make deep friendships because I know that I'm going to leave. Today we acknowledge this one truth that's unique in some ways to where we live, that it is very difficult to love and to lose friends. You see, when you've shared life together, when there's been wins and losses, you're connected somehow. When you celebrate births, when you laugh at them when their kids break their arm, or, you know, well, wait, no, you're sorry, but then you're kind of laughing going, yeah, my kid broke his arm, each one before he was two. And you do parenting and you do life and you share wins and losses. And somebody loses a parent and you take a meal over. And somebody goes through a health problem and you walk with them and you give them a ride to the city. And you do these wins and losses in life together. Something bigger happens in the church. We share spiritual experience together. You're here and you watch somebody say, I understand for the first time who Jesus is. And they give their life to Christ. And they say, I want to get baptized, and you baptize them, and then they come to you and say, as they've grown and they begin to serve, Pastor, we're moving. And your heart drops just a little bit. Because you're connected to them. You've walked down difficult roads, and you love them. At least I do. And if you're in community in this place, it should be how you feel. As you've prayed with one another, if you've witnessed God's work, as you've celebrated, as you've learned, and as you've grown, you have become a community of faith. Now, we talk about community lots here, and it didn't take me very long to realize that something needed to happen, that we needed to embrace this reality, that if we could be a sending place, if we could be a place where if God would allow you to come here, and we could get you on a path of discipleship, and we could help you find Jesus in real ways, and we could make this a comfortable place for you. If you could ground in and find a way to serve and find a way to go, when God took you somewhere else, you were going to bless his church unbelievably. In fact, he was going to use you to be a catalyst somewhere else for what he wanted to do there. And so we changed our whole scorecard. You know, it's tough for us because we send stats in every year, and they're like, hey, what are you guys doing up there in Cold Lake? Your church keeps growing and shrinking and... Oh, it's Chris and Bob. They like him. They don't like him. Our favorite answer at conferences now is when people say, well, how big is your church? We say about 3 million online. You had to get past size being the issue. People say, why don't you build a new building? Well, who's going to commit to a 10-year giving program when in 2 years you're going to be in another place? Nobody. And the people that are here say, so Chris and I sat down and said, okay, let's do simple church. I know what worked in your last place was awesome, but why don't you come on in here and we're just going to build disciples and we're just going to love Jesus and we're just going to get you to serve and we're going to strip it down to what it has to be and we're going to do that. And we're not going to start new things all the time because new things take people to keep them going and God's going to give and take. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah? The second thing we wanted to do is say, however long God puts you here, if it's 6 months, come be a disciple with us. We're going to do the pain. We want to get into relationship with you. We want you to get in community. We want you to join a family group. We want you to start growing in your walk with God. And if you can serve for however long it is, we're going to find a place for you to serve. Why? Because it matters. The church is about building disciples. What does Jesus command, right? Go make disciples of all nations. And so we welcome you, and some of you from the military, it's a new experience because you come in and go, yeah, I'm posted here, but I don't know for how long. And we go, great, come on in. We have a place for you. And some of you say, well, I'm just here for a 2-year stint or a 3-year stint, or that, you know, I'll be back in Calgary. Great, come on in. We have a place for you. But there's a hard reality to that. That if we love and do life and do community, we have to grieve and we have to hurt. And I'm here to remind you from Scripture and as someone who loves you and cares about this place, that doing this process well matters for both sides. It's important. So the first thing I want to tell you, and I get this out of Scripture, is that you need to grieve well. Now, I know some of you are real tough guys. Yeah, it's the nature of the place. It doesn't matter. And some of you just don't have the same empathy or the same connection or the same, and that's fine. God might have made you a little different. But no matter how he made you, you need to grieve well. Let me tell you a story about my friend Paul in Ephesus. I've been there. I've stood where he stood and where the church was built. Paul was sent to Ephesus and he started a church there and he started a tent making business. And the church started to grow because the message of Jesus was transforming lives. It was the site of amazing miracles. I mean, the Bible in Acts talks about how people were looking for his handkerchief when he was done with it because if they believed and they touched it, miracles were happening. They wanted his shadow to fall across them. The church exploded. In fact, it exploded in such a way that the silversmiths who made little idols, their business fell off so sharply because people said, no, we know Jesus. We don't need to buy some stupid idol. That they gathered and they were ready to kill the disciples because their business was falling off and affected so badly. That's the power of the gospel and the spread. Were big things happening? They were. 3 years, Paul is the catalyst in Ephesus. He develops deep relationships with these people. He still goes on some missionary trips. He goes in and out from there, but this is his home base. These are his people. These are his spiritual children. He loves them deeply. And in Acts chapter 20, we find the Holy Spirit of God moving him on. It says, I need you to go here. And he's headed, and he knows he's headed for not only trial, but he's headed for very difficult times and death. And we see him gathering with his spiritual children. We see him gathering with his family of faith, this community that he's experienced things well with. And we see him grieving well. This morning, I'm not going to take the time to read that whole passage. Here's what I want you to do. As we end this service and you worry about doing this well in your life and you say, God, speak to me, this week, go home and get it out. Study it. Take the principles I'm pulling out and showing you and put them to work in your heart and your life and let God align you. But this is what's happening with Paul and the church in Ephesus. And there's three things out of this passage that I want to talk about that I've identified. The first is that Paul identifies the loss. as they have done life and shared experiences, wins, losses, personally and spiritually, there's a recognition that there's going to be a separation physically, and it isn't going to be as easy to do life connectedly together. And you see Paul very, very clearly saying, this is what's happened, and we're facing a new reality. And what comes out of that is weeping and tears. Do you know that God created us with emotions? And part of grieving well and identifying loss in your life, people that have been significant, is walking through the emotion. If nobody's ever given you permission, allow me to do it. Do you want to know my predominant emotion when I say godly goodbyes? Discouragement. I don't know why. I just get really discouraged. And we're going to talk about how I align my perspective. But your dominant emotion might be sadness, or but if you grieve well, emotion will be involved. Don't deny it. Embrace it and take it to Jesus. Secondly, we see Paul in this passage expressing what matters. And I love the conversation he has. He gathers the elders around them and he starts to talk to them about some things. And he says, you know, this is who I've been. And you know that this is what we've experienced. But he affirms them by way of reminder that he's seen them grow and he's seen them develop. And he warns them about things that he's worried about coming along. And as you study the passage, you're going to say, wow, look at that. He picked out some things that matter and he talked to them. Here's some things I think we need to express when we grieve well. The first is thanksgiving. What has been important about the community and the relationship? I do lots of funerals. I used to do way more in my life. And a very, very common thing that I ran into was as I'd sit with the family and we'd plan the service, they would really overplan it and want to say a lot of things and do a lot of things. And I learned very quickly that there was things that they wished that they had expressed when they were together that they're trying to express afterward. Part of grieving well in godly goodbyes is identifying what mattered. I can remember friends that encouraged me, dropped by for coffee. There was a guy I used to pray with once a week. His name was Brian. He was a police officer. He could come into my office and complain about people, and I could complain back, and we'd laugh at each other, and he'd go back to work. But, you know, that relationship meant a great deal to me. And Paul says, hey, part of grieving well, expressing what matters. Thanksgiving for what's been important. And an encouragement that you've been used by God in my life. I know when he moved the last time, he had sat down with me and said, you will never know the things that God has used through the mundane, the little coffees, the in my life to encourage me. As you think about saying goodbye to some people or like on either side of this, there's probably things that come to your mind where you go, you know, I give thanks to God first and thanks for the growth that I've seen and the support that they were. But if I'm going to give some direct encouragement, you need to convey to each other, you've been used by God in my life. You know what happens when you do that? They continue on, continuing on, and you've actually marked something really important. And grieving well drives a marker. It identifies an important growth, an important change. And so grieving well identifies the loss. There's a new reality. We don't share the same space. Even though we're friends and we're going to be in heaven together, our day-to-day reality changes. You express what matters. You say thank you for what has been important and encouragement for what God has done and how you've been used in each other's lives. And you drive a marker in identifying significant and important growth. And then finally, you need to do in grieving well what Paul does with the elders. He says, I commend you to God. You commend one another to God. And in verses 32 to 36, let me read it for you. It says this. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him. Does that sound emotional? It does to me. Being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. First thing I want to tell you is your pastor, as someone who's been here a while, grieving well is important. For if you don't grieve well, you won't be healthy to continue on. You won't be healthy to engage elsewhere. And you won't allow God to do what he needs to do in your heart, in your life. Secondly, you need to gain perspective. Okay. Confession time. How many of you are narcissistic like me? Right? So when people tell you that their job has changed or God's taking them somewhere, do you think about what God's going to do in their life and where he's going to put them and all the exciting things that they're going to see and do and what an adventure this will be? Or do you think about all the ways it'll affect you? I think about all the ways it'll affect me. I go home and kick the cat. I'm kidding. I don't kick the cat. I thought you were sleeping for a minute. Some of you are like, I'm okay with it. No, sorry. And I need to align my perspective. So as you understand grieving well, you're like, okay, Bob, I get it. Yeah, I actually, those things make perfect sense to me. Let me talk about the heart that allows those things to happen. First, you need the perspective that God is involved in your life and he's able. This is where you start. Right? It tells us in Acts that he knew the time and the place he was going to place you. It tells us that he's prepared work for you to participate in beforehand. And it tells you in Romans chapter 8 that nothing that you face will separate you from this mighty God who spoke into being, who spoke into creation, who's handled it so far. Let me remind you of the words. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We were regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The first place you need to gain perspective is that God is big, he is involved, he is able, and nothing is a surprise to him, no matter what you face. Secondly, you need to remember from Scripture that the seasons of life can be embraced. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and he talks about this and that, but he says there's a season and a time for everything under heaven. You know, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to laugh and a time to weep. The seasons of life are God's to determine in length. They're ours to embrace and enjoy. You ever meet somebody that missed summer because they were dreading winter? Come on. You've got to have met these people, right? It's gorgeous out. It's beautiful. And they tell you how many days till it's predicted it's going to snow. Or, you know, it's a fall day and it's awesome. And they're like, oh, yeah, the leaves are changing. Pretty soon we'll all be in the house. What's the matter with you people? Embrace the seasons of life. So I'm talking about your heart, and I'm talking about your perspective. I'm talking about starting with God is able and in control. He knows he's placed you here. He is more than able for what we're facing, what you're facing. Second perspective check, embrace the seasons of life. This is something that, as a parent, has been interesting for me. I know parents who grieve their kids at every step when they change, right? So when they go, oh, they can crawl. I miss when they couldn't crawl. Oh, they can walk. I miss when they couldn't walk. It's like nobody says I miss when they were in diapers. Just saying. It gets a little more pronounced when they get mobility and they get to drive, or they get independence and freedom, and they leave your house. You go, oh, woe is me. My kids are gone. And some of you go, yes, my kids are gone. But I found that if you embrace every season of life and every change, and you look forward to your kids being teenagers, because you can have a great relationship with a teenager, and you look forward to them being in their 20s, because what an exciting time of life, and you look forward to them having their own family so you can go and eat their stuff and visit them. If your perspective is to enjoy and embrace the seasons and trust God who is able, it changes everything. Now, I'm talking about setting your heart right. I'm talking about what you need to do in here. And the last perspective check you need to embrace is this one. I can trust God with the unknown. You know, as a pastor, as people get what we're about and they dig in and they start to serve and they start to minister to others, and I see these relationships develop where you're depending on you and you're speaking into your life, and I know these stories and I can connect these people and this is going to happen. All of a sudden, the unknown in God moving people away is, who's going to be there, Lord? What's going to happen? Now, I know all of you think, oh, pastor, you should be stronger than that. I'm not. That happens to me. And I don't know what the unknown in is for you. You might be someone that's leaving and you're like, where are my kids going to go to school? What's going to happen? Where? Oh, my goodness. And you might be somebody who's staying going, how am I going to continue? This is my go-to person. This is my phone call. This is the one that. Remember, God is able. Remember to embrace the seasons of life. And remember, you can trust God with the unknown. He will bring others into our body that have gifts that will serve and that will fill the spaces. He's gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us and for you, wherever he's going to take you. That he's promised to build his church his way, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I mean, God is in charge of his church. It's his bride. We're his people. And we can trust God that we have eternity together. And all of that needs to be there as a perspective check. So we've told you to grieve well. We said you start by wriggling your heart around. Get your perspective right. Take these principles and apply them to grief. And now I want you to extend a blessing to one another. In Acts 13, Barnabas and Saul, who were doing amazing things and who were very important, were led by God to go elsewhere. And it says this, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. What does it look like to build up and to pray for one another? Well, it doesn't look like making the other people feel guilty for the lurch they're leaving you in, now does it? It doesn't go, well, who's going to play, or who's going to do this, or who's going to serve coffee? Or it's like, well, I know God's taking you away, or I know you've got to go, but... And then tell them all the ways that it's inconvenient or painful for you. That is not sending them with a blessing. I'm telling you to get your hearts wriggled around. I'm telling you your perspective set on what God's word promises. I'm telling you to work the process of grief well and go through the emotion, but choose to not only send people with a blessing, but to be a blessing when you go. Let me talk about that for a minute. Paul is talking in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 11 to Timothy. Now may the God and the Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. That was given at a very difficult moment. Get your Bibles out, look it up. I'm not going to take time for it today, but be intrigued at the difficult moment in which a blessing is offered? Well, let's ask a big question. So what? For those who are going, in a little bit, if you know transitions in your future, I'm just going to tell you what I'm going to do, okay? If you know that in the short season you're going to be transisting, after we sing one song, everybody else is going to sit down. We're going to ask you to stand up. We're going to say, we're going to self-identify. This is happening in our world and in our reality. And I'm even going to give you the permission as a church family, if you know them, love them, you're in a community group with them, you just feel you want to go pray for that person. We're just going to move around. It's going to be chaotic and it's going to be awesome. And then we're going to pray for each other. But for you who are going to stand, for you who are in transition, you're being sent by God. Can I, as your pastor, beg you, thank the people who have been involved intentionally. If you have been well served, if you have had people pray, walk alongside you, bless you, as you look at transisting out and going to another place, would you start by thanksgiving? You are going to encourage specifically. I mean, you might have come for prayer and somebody prayed for you. You might have gotten a cup of coffee and it meant the world to you. There might have been a moment where someone's intervention changed the course of your spiritual history. They need to hear that because discouragement accompanies this thing. And they need to be encouraged. And whether it's having them over for a meal or writing them a card, this is what you need to do. You need to thank intentionally, encourage specifically, and identify the growth and the lessons. You know, I was at an assembly recently. I'll make this quick. And it was so entertaining. I did the math of how many people were there and how much each second at the mic cost. And my heart was to get up and to tell people to think through what they had to say because this was costing a lot of money. Like $260 a minute. And I'm like, that was worth $20. Sit down. If you think about the growth and the lessons that God has granted you in a place and what he's done in your heart, you can organize your thoughts and be really intentional about thanking and encouraging specifically. For those of you that are going, this is important. You know what that does? That allows you to identify how you've grown and drive a marker in, and it recharges you for growing in the next place. Then you need to get on your knees and pray for God's leading to a family of faith where you can be discipled further and where God can use your gifts. Determine before you ever get in the car from this place that your plan is to ground into a community of faith and grow as a disciple of Christ and bring others into your life. And finally, again, I should sit down to say this because it's probably not very spiritual or biblical, but quit comparing. Okay? This is an unusual place, and God has graced us with his presence here. And if you had great community here and you go somewhere and you don't instantly encounter it, quit pointing back. Ground in, determined to grow, and determined to take the lessons that you've learned and accumulated to the next place and let God use them there. In where he's taking you to be a servant, to be a light, to be a witness, because maybe he's taking something from here that he's done in you that he needs somewhere else. Bring new life wherever you land. For those who continue on here, that's me, and that's a bunch of you. I want you to stop looking. Get your perspective right and start by choosing to celebrate what God has allowed. If God has allowed a best friend for a number of years, celebrate that and thank him. If God has allowed friends for your kids for these years, celebrate that and thank him. If God has allowed for you to be a part of something, a home group, a community group that's changing and the dynamics are going to blow apart and look different, celebrate what God did allow. Quit worrying about what he's going to do. Trust him with the future. He's God and he is able. Secondly, encourage specifically and intentionally. What do you think it would mean to someone for you to go up to them and say, you know, when I first met you, I thought you were a real tool. But now, no. To say, wow, I have watched God work in your life.
I was there the day you said you were going to follow Jesus. I was there the day you got baptized. I can't tell you how excited I am for you. Hold on to it. If you ever question it, pick up the phone and call me. I'll be right here. What would it look like for you to release people to the next place full of anticipation about what God was going to do, where he was taking them, and how he was going to use them? It would look completely different than saying, oh, you're really inconveniencing us. Determine now to send people with a blessing, and that means to release them. To say, you go, you follow Jesus. You know, I should have had Kelly's parents come and talk about this. What does it look like to release your child with a blessing? Off to Venezuela. You can't buy Cheerios, but have a good time. What does it look like for us to send some of our best, some of our committed, some of our workers, and to go, we want to release you with the blessing of the Almighty God, because he's got a place he needs you, and he's taking you somewhere. That's the greatest gift we can give you guys, to grieve well, to align our perspective, but to begin by celebrating what has been, to encourage specifically, intentionally, to determine to send them with a blessing, a relief, a release. And now let me tell you about your heart. God says he's the Father of all comfort. And he says that nothing should be held back. That we can come to him in all things by prayer and supplication and make a request be made known to God. Remember me saying grieving well includes emotion? Allow God to touch and to heal and renew your heart. Take to him, to the cross, your sorrow, your pain, your disappointment, your discouragement, and allow God to touch you. Come to him and let him meet you where you are, because he heals you and he makes you whole and he renews you and he gets you ready again. Because he's bringing more people who need to grow in discipleship. Then get on your knees and begin to pray for those you don't even know. You don't know their face. You don't know who they are. And then set yourself to prepare to embrace others. If you're here and you see the new people coming in the door, get on the greeter schedule, serve some coffee, usher, meet them in the foyer, help their kids find somewhere, serve them, love them, embrace them, get them in your community group, have them over for a meal. Let me tell you what will happen. You get to hear their God stories. You get to find out about them. You get to learn lessons from them, and you get to open your life and invite them in. And God does the divine when we simply participate. One of the characteristics of God is he's hospitable. And he's designed us to work in community and relationship. Prepare to embrace others through hospitality, being a part of community, serving and experiencing God together. For some of you here, you have not, to this point, you've been here a long time, engaged because of the fear of what will happen when people leave. Or because you're only here for... I know people that told me they haven't transferred their membership here and they've been here longer than I have. If you're here, jump in with us. You know what you get to do? You get to see God at work and you get to celebrate a season and not miss it. Amen? Okay, here's what we're going to do. Just so we're clear. The last so what is we're going to pray for one another. I already told you how that's going to work. Alex and the team's going to come. You're going to stand up. We're going to sing a song. Then we get up and say, okay, everybody sit down. If transitions in your life in this season, and some of them are missing and you know who they are, you can practice all this with them. We're going to get you to stand and then we're just going to move around. It's going to be messy and horrible and it'll be awesome. It'll be just like when we let the kids go and you can't do anything or go anywhere. And then I'm gonna instruct you to pray for one another, and I'm going to pray for you. And then together as his church, we are going to sing praise to a God who is able and who knows.